Okay. All right. Welcome to my talk about children in digital spaces, keeping digital spaces open for children. This talk's intention is raising a bit of awareness for very young people who use free and open source software or even contribute to free and open source software. And some of you might already have an idea how we got here. There was this slight dramatic episode with the OpenSUSE terms being changed in a way that was saying that young people under the age of 16 years were not allowed anymore to not only to contribute to OpenSUSE or register an account, but even to download OpenSUSE, open the website, find information on domains below opensuse.org. This turned out to have been sort of an accident. There was a change to the terms of site, and this rule got in there due to various reasons. However, there is an ongoing story because something needs to be done about the rights or the not rights of minors in OpenSUSE. So, thanks to the OpenSUSE team for accepting my late proposal after this this episode and agreeing that I could give a short talk to raise awareness here and clear up some legal myths. Some notes about me. I'm 36 years old and the chairperson and head of pedagogics at TechKids, which is a German youth organization. In my day job, I'm a self-employed FOSS consultant, and most of my time I spend as an open source trainer at Linux Hotel in Essen. I'm also a Debian developer, a contributor to OpenSUSE. Yes, I'm maintaining two packages in factory, okay. and a Gentoo user, I have to admit, so much here. All right, but the more relevant about me information, I started my journey in the Linux world at a quite young age, at 12 years. My computer sciences teacher handed me a set of CDs, and we all were very excited by Walrus and software you got for free when you had to pay. And my teacher said, hey, you can just get this. Here, this is for you. You can just have this copy. It's legal. And I thought, well, why is this legal? And I was even more excited. And this led to me at 15 years volunteering in administration of the school network, getting my Linux Professional Institute certification at 15 years, and then starting to tutor younger students from 8th grade in Linux server administration, network administration, and helping them to also get towards the LPIC certification. TechKids somewhat arose from that, and our slogan is we want to help shape a comprehensible digital world that is shaped by everyone together. And to show you how this started and why, my motivation, why I'm standing here, this is a photo from FrostCon in, I think, 2014, I'm not sure. And these are 100 children. For comparison, this is around 8 to 9% of the conference attendees at that in that year. So there obviously are young people who want to get into at least the use of free software and learn more about using computer systems than we think the average child may do with a smartphone or whatever today. They also contribute in other forms. You can see them giving presentations about school software and developing school software at the bottom left, or our presentation at Big Brother Awards last year, where the boy in the orange T-shirt is 8 years old at this point in time, and he presented something about digital rights in schools. So a lot of things that very young children already do in our community world. I asked around today, because I always prepare my talks very early, for some quotes from young people, what they do with open source. I have to skip over them a bit, because I think we lost some 5 minutes or something due to the technical issues. So Johannes uses free software because data isn't abused and he can learn how software works. Jan is also happy that he can choose what software he uses. yeah, I will not read them all out now, but yeah, quite a few impressions that there is really quite a not so tiny amount of young people who use free software or have started to contribute to things like Wikipedia. And other open platforms at a very young age, and this has led to them now being a somewhat pure free software user and getting into our free and open source software and free and open platform world over the years. Yeah. Okay, so young people, these are some claims that I think are very valid. Young persons have or should have the same rights in free software communities as adults have. Of course, this is not something that is very trivial to do, but we will see to that in a minute. Young people are also extremely valuable for communities. I don't think this is any news for any of you. We need young people to for our communities to grow, and persons from communities are getting older. Yes, all of us are getting older. At some point in time, maybe we don't do as much work as we have been doing in younger years, and there needs to be people who fill in these gaps and who like to join and be active in open source communities. So this means, at least in my opinion, that keeping digital spaces open for young people should actually be a top priority when making policies and when designing software communities and other open communities. Okay, so one thing that I recognized over the years and also during the OpenSUSE Terms of Site Change thing is that there are some myths that people believe about legal stuff. This will not be a deep dive because there's only at most 30 minutes here for this talk, but some things I have been facing a lot that might help to consider. Legal decisions regarding minors. So first of all, the differentiation between contract laws and privacy laws. There are terms of use, there are privacy policies, and there is legislation governing these two documents. And I often see that things get quite mixed up. Then the privacy policy suddenly says you must be 16 years old to use this service, or the terms of use start talking about privacy issues. This is problematic in some ways. So let's clear up with that. Maybe the first thing. So contract laws mainly decide who is able to agree into a contract, so who can say, I want to get this service, I want to use this offer, I want to buy this thing, who can actually do this? There's the concept of legal age or age of majority, which is a concept in basically every jurisdiction around the world, which dictates starting from what age people are legally capable of agreeing into contracts on their own. So, terms of use or terms of service, or as OpenSUSE calls it, terms of site, are governed by contract laws or civil laws. And I have a question for you. Considering only laws in Germany or Luxembourg, because that's where the SUSE headquarters are located. What do you think, at what age can a person enter into contracts? As I cannot see anything down there due to the lightning, just... 0, 0, oh! Okay, we had the full range, starting from 0 up...
Yes.
This was the correct answer. You can go to the bar and get a free water if you want. Thank you. So, okay, we had all the answers starting from 0 years up to 18 years, something in between. And the correct answer, depending on the jurisdiction. In Germany, it's 7 years. Below 7 years, children cannot do anything without their legal guardians. But after that, they can enter into some contracts. I will get to that in the next slide. And in Luxembourg, there's even not a lower limit. It's an individual decision, which makes it a bit complicated, of course. Okay, so what's the catch? That all seems very easy. The first catch is that all of this is national law, so we have around 200 jurisdictions that define civil laws and contract laws. And the second catch is that for a young person that has not reached the age of maturity, which is, by the way, 18 in most of Europe, they only can enter into contracts that are purely advantages. So, if they can buy something with their own money, no matter how much that money is, and they can go to the shop and say, here is my money, give me the thing, and there is no financial obligation or any other legal obligation apart from exchanging this offer and the money, then they can perfectly do that. In other legal norms, for example in Luxembourg, children need to have the psychological or developmental capacity to reasonably decide on a contract, so they need to be able to understand what entering into the contract means for them. In Germany, we only have this lower bar of 7 years. In Luxembourg, for example, it's an individual decision, and for every contract, basically, you look at what courts have ruled in the past, whether this contract is okay or not, which is sort of interesting, but doesn't make it easier. Okay, so privacy laws. This is the second and probably the most, the thing most people fear ever since GDPR started in Europe, privacy laws. When people talk about privacy laws, I often say, oh, we will be sued no matter what we do. This doesn't actually happen. Well, it happens. But when it happens, it does for a reason. So, privacy regulations like the General Data Protection Regulation in the European Union are designed to protect individuals from data abuse by organizations. They are not designed to protect individuals from data use. They are designed to protect them from data abuse, not regular use. Yeah? So that's an important difference. Data protection laws normally don't want to make you not process data. One interesting thing here is that the age of consent, yeah, you know that there is a banner and say, I accept the privacy policy, or I agree that you send me newsletters, or I agree that you add my data to your advertising profiles. The age of consent for these things under privacy laws in the EU is different from the age of maturity in the civil law. So, yeah, we can make another quiz about that in a minute. But privacy law does not govern contracts. It's even more interesting because the GDPR actually says that a contract must not depend on a consent under GDPR. So, more about that in a minute, but first, the question, oh no, not the question. Processing data is allowed, and this is the basic claim of the GDPR. It is not allowed. So that's what the GDPR says very clearly. You cannot process information personal information from individuals if you are an organization. Except, and this is article number 6, when there is another law governing this intention you have, or it's necessary to fulfill a previously agreed contract, so you already have a contract, someone already agreed to your terms of use, and then you want to do something on top that is not necessary to fulfill this contract and it's not necessary to offer the services of your site. That's when you need consent. But if you only do what is necessary to technically and practically fulfill the offer that you and the user agreed upon, then this data processing is legal without getting any consent. There are some other rules, but these are the most interesting here. Another rule is, for example, if the life of the individual depends on your data processing, but I don't think we are already as far with OpenSUSE, so I have left that out. Okay, so another quiz. At what age can a person consent to data processing under the European GDPR? You can just shout your answers. I can't even see whether there are people in the room. Oh, there are. Hi. Pardon? 18. Mm-hmm. Any? At any age? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's complicated. Actually, the lower limit for entering into contracts of 7 years is a German specialty. Most other jurisdictions, also on the level of the EU, always say, yeah, you can do it when you're ready to. Yeah. So a GDPR says minors can consent if they can grasp the consequences of their agreement. Okay. All right. Thank you for this legislation. I know what to do now. Or when they are 16. So if they are 16, we expect them to be capable of grasping the consequences of any data processing consent, and then we are in the clear. Up to there, it's a bit complicated. And there's another special case. If you make an offer that is specially targeted towards minors, yeah, so you advertise it, so here, you are a child, come use my service, come bring your data to me, then you always need the consent of a legal guardian, no matter what the age. Yeah, this is a special protection because when you do advertising that is specially targeted at young people, then we expect them to not be as capable to grasp the consequences because of the influence of the advertising. Okay, so the conclusion of that is that good people don't need consent, right? If you only process what is necessary for a contract, you don't do anything that goes on top of the contract, then you don't need to ask for consent. And please, don't do it just to be sure. Yeah, there are so many websites that have a cookie banner or another form of consent asking for things that no one needs consent for. Yeah? You don't need consent to lock an IP address of a user of your website. You don't need consent to store an email address that you are sending regular service-related emails to, like a security notice that someone logged into your account. You can just do that. But if you want to send advertisements about other products to the same email address, then obviously you need consent. But when you don't do that, you don't need to ask for consent, and also please don't do it. That would make the internet and the web a much more convenient place. but obviously, transparently explain everything, but do not ask for confirmation. Yes, in your privacy policy, just say, we do this and this and this and that because this is technically necessary to fulfill the contract, and this and this and this and that because this is a legitimate interest, and this and this and this and that because another law requires us to do, period, thank you, period, you are allowed to process. Don't ask for confirmation, just do it. If you have doubts, maybe you are doing too much processing. Oh yes, and also the last detail is important. For all processing that is not governed by an explicit consent that is allowed due to other reasons by GDPR, there is no age limit. Yeah, the age limit only covers giving explicit consent for processing. If you are allowed to process data and information due to another reason, then there is no age limit governing that. So, of course, this is not as easy as it sounds, because often there are conflicts of interest from the operators. Here at OpenSUSE, this is the interest of the OpenSUSE community, which wants to be very open, that has practically no commercial interests. And there is SUSE, the company, who do have commercial interests. The legal complications under around 200 national legislations, they are very real. Yeah? But if we keep an eye on that, we often see legislation being made where precautions are made either for free software and open source software, like it's done in the age restriction laws in the US currently, or as the UK is working on, to accept offers made by non-profit organizations from certain requirements. So always keep an eye on that. It can make things easier, and it's something that can be discussed when changes to policies are being made. So, a roadmap of what to do. Please clearly define the scope of your offer and make sure contributors understand the scope. Yeah. So if you need an email address, say, hey, we need this email address for doing this and that. Explain why it is legitimate. That's often quite easy, I think. And strictly separate contractual and privacy topics, and carefully consider the aspects of your processing. Yeah. If you want to do personalized advertising, then say so, and then get consent for this personal advertising. And if someone doesn't give the consent, they can still use or contribute to OpenSUSE. They just cannot get the personalized advertising. All right? Just a few ideas if things go bad. Yeah, some idiotic country gets around and says, hey, you now need to do age attestation. You must be sure that you know the age of the users that register with the website. There are some things we can learn from federated and decentralized systems. For example, there are organizations like TechIt's who work with young people on a personal level. We know them. We have physically seen them. We know their parents. We know the connection is real. And logins can be designed so it can be enabled to log in with an account from another trusted organization, which has done the age attestation thing in their own way and just pledges that, yes, this is a person that is a child, this is a minor, or is an adult. And the website, like OpenSUSE, who wants the user to be able to log in, doesn't even need to know the details. Yeah? So there are technical solutions we can borrow from also to solve these issues, but I'd prefer to just not get into these troubles at all. So please fight any attempts to bring in age attestation laws in the first place. Please don't do that. Yeah, SUSE, please don't come here and pull me off the stage. Please don't do this. Yeah, I haven't even accepted the cookie banner. Yeah, and Privacy Badger isn't happy at all. Yeah, so SUSE, if you are listening, please maybe try to fix this, and then I think a lot of trouble and a lot of things that are difficult for the privacy policy can get a lot simpler already. Yeah, be sure to not track people without their consent. If you ask for consent, then track them afterwards. Okay. So the final conclusion is: pedagogics play an important role in policy making. Pedagogics should, in my opinion, sit next to lawyers. Lawyers are there to protect you from legal consequences of course. My watch says a different thing, but thank you. Okay. Pedagogy, we have a lot of laws that say children need to be able to grasp consequences. So please don't only ask lawyers, also ask pedagogics and people who actually work with children to help you and to help in the policy-making process. Maybe if someone, just a pragmatic idea, if someone just intends to contribute to your Linux distribution, then maybe they have the developmental ability to decide whether they want to give you their email address, right? Something that can be considered. So, final thoughts. Please help young people. Please consider them. Please consult pedagogics and people who actually work with young people when making policies. And please fight any attempts to put more adultism into policies and into laws. Thank you. For the practical things of getting started with OpenSUSE, there's also Jintash Goyal at 1745 here, because of course once people start to contribute to OpenSUSE, they should have a good start. Thank you for listening. For any questions, I will be available outside in the beer garden until Jintash's talk starts, and I'm very happy to discuss these topics with anyone who is interested. Thank you.